of your door.
See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
is wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your name. Honor be to your name. Lord, even as we learn this evening, we are blessed, we are changed, we are transformed, we are made stronger in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may please be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. That worship was so tempting to continue. Amen.
He said, do you know your specific assignment? I'm like, what do you mean? He said, what? He said, do you really know what is your assignment in the body of Christ? I said, that's a tough one. Now, I'm going to say this maybe just only today, and I may not say it again until the next 5-6 years or maybe even 10 years. You know, big things like that come in meetings like this. Just assignment. Maybe the mic doesn't want me to spill it out. He said, the specific work I cut out for you in the body is to preserve all the work of the previous generation for the last 40 years. And then, you know, when God talks, you know, God speaks more than words. And so if God says something, he will make you understand a million things at once. Are you following me? You know, you saw the way Sunday service went.
Yes, sir.
When that glory came, and when the power of God is lifting somebody from the seats, and so, then, you know, are you with me?
Yes,
by the way, our first crusade for this year, April 10th to 11th, Lugbe, the great.
Hallelujah.
And he said, you are to preserve that work. Of course, there are many things that have happened in the last 40, 50, 60 years in the body of Christ that we should not continue. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
However, there are many things that must not be lost. There are many, many things that must not be lost. Things like the move of the Spirit,
yes,
the power of God, signs and wonders. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Things like Bible study, Bible teaching. You know, it is so scarce that even most people don't know what it looks like. In fact, if you ask, an average church goer does not know what a Bible teacher looks like. If they meet a Bible teacher, they will say he's a boring pastor. Are you following me? There are names I will call that if you went to Christians in the last 25 years, those names were, who knows Zach Ponem? Oh, you see what I'm saying? Who knows? Except you have heard me call those names. Gordon Lindsay. Aru Etori. Those are teachers of the Bible. Who knows? I'm trying to remember some that. Derek Prince. That's the more closer one. Okay, who knows Austin Sparks? But you know what my name.
Yes,
at some point, Austin Sparks was mentoring Watchman Nee. Praise the Lord. I know the names are sound like tongues too. People don't know what Bible teaching is. And let me tell you something. One of the major reasons why many Christians don't look like what the Bible says is because they lack proper feeding. See, they lack proper teaching. They have not been taught by the kind of teaching that reshapes a man. Are you with me? If you really sit under a Bible ministry, after 5 years, you're supposed to show. You just look. It's obvious you have been. When they look at you, they know ministry has been done on you. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
And it affects both the theological part of it and the spiritual part of it. Both the organic part of it and the mental part of it. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
For instance, do you know what it means to be in a service like what happened on Sunday? There are many Christians, they are not used to such things. They're not used to being impacted by the Spirit. A lady messaged me. She said while she was on the road going back home, she couldn't stop praying. That something gripped her. In those days, there is something saints used to call, I have a burden to pray. I have a fasting burden. Something gripped you. Are you with me?
Yes,
praise the Lord. And so he said, you will preserve it. And so, whether you like it or not, midweek service, you will teach. Open the Bible. Say, look at this. Look at that. Look at this. In fact, one time, he said, if it means to just set up a camera, put it in front of you and be teaching, fine. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, as we learn your word, we are changed in the name of Jesus. So, on Sunday, we began something which we are going to conclude today. The reason why we did that teaching on Sunday was because I mentioned we were supposed to go into what the Bible teaches about money. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But as the pastors, we prayed, as we're seeking the Lord made us know that before we go into that teaching or that teaching series, we have to do something you can call a prerequisite class. For instance, if you are going to learn about ordinary differential equations in 200 level engineering, you should have learned about differentiation in secondary school so that you don't get there and you are completely lost. Are you with me? So these teachings are to prepare us. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are to prepare us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so The teaching on Sunday was titled Stalwarts, and the actual topic was the proper disciple. Glory, were you blessed by that?
Yes, sir.
And this is a continuation of that, the proper disciple part 2, and we called it solid.
Hallelujah.
Solid. See after me, solid.
Solid.
The proper disciple.
The proper disciple.
Part 2. So, what do we mean when we say someone or something is solid? It's another way of saying what we learned on Sunday is a synonym for stalwart. So when we say someone is solid, we are saying the person is stalwart. We are saying the person is strong. We are saying the person is dependable. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When you say that guy is a solid guy, that lady is a solid lady. Are you with me? You are saying the person is strong, the person is dependable, they are consistent, they are formidable. Are you with me?
Yes,
you are saying they came correct, they are correct. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know the popular Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 to 27. You know Jesus says, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, for it was solid. Are you with me? For it was founded upon the rock. Praise the Lord. He says in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, see, this kind of teaching is very sacrosanct to me. Because let me tell you, the decadence of Christianity nowadays is a discipleship failure. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When you lower the bar in quality assurance in a manufacturing process, the end consumers will begin to complain. Yes, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
There are some of you who remember. No, I don't want to call the name of any product. But you know some products that 10 years ago, when you ate them, there was a way it tasted. But now, it has become slimmer. They were reducing it small, but you did not know. After a while, you notice, this biscuit is not the same. No, this thing has changed. There is a can that used to carry fishes. I didn't call anything. There was a time it was four. When you open it and put like this, it's four that comes out. After a while, it became three and a half. After a while, it became three. Then they left it at two, so that we know Jesus multiplied five loaves of bread and two fishes. Are you following me? After a while, the end consumers will begin to say, this thing has changed. Do you realize that Christians once said that there was a time in this country, if somebody came to your house by 1 a.m. and said, I am SU, you can open the door for the person. That's what our parents said. And nothing will get missing. Nothing will happen. Can you believe that? It's almost unbelievable. Are you with me? I can't to imagine it. Now Christians are doing business, they are cheating themselves. Like, I saw something that made me laugh. He said, now the way Christians will be signing an agreement, you will sign on top. They are both believers. So you will sign on top, you will sign under, because if you don't sign, you will see wonders. When I saw it, I said, oh my God. Hey! One of the first people that duped us as a church years ago was a man that claimed to be a deacon in his own church. He said, I cannot cheat you, but you were cheating us. You were story for another day. Thank God we have passed that level. I cried. 2022, the church was just 2 years, about going to 3 years. We went to buy, you know, these chairs that have foam, this. We ordered some, 50 of them. With all our faith, we've gathered this money. How much was the money? 245,000. We gathered this money. Hey! That was one of the biggest money ever in the entire ministry. We gave this man. Oh, yeah, supply chairs. God have mercy upon us. See, today we are still expecting those chairs. See, today the man disappeared. His office even disappeared. We went to his office. The office did not exist again. It was not there. And I was calling him. He said, sir, I'm rushing for prayer meeting right now. Say that means solid disciples. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And on Sunday, remember, we mentioned three things using the development mental process of Jesus. Luke 2 verse 40, we said, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we said the three basic things that mark a proper disciple. Number one, you must be born again. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No matter what we are explaining about the kingdom of God, he will not get it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He will not get it. Because we try to make this whole thing look like it is a logical thing. And while it is true that there is... See, let me put it like this. While it is true that there is logic in understanding God, you will make a big mistake to make everything about God logical.
Yes.
Are you with me? And while it is true, there are things that are beyond logic in understanding God, you also be making a big mistake to claim that everything about God cannot be understood. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, why do I have to seek God when God is in me? Okay, don't seek God. I didn't hear what I just said. There is a Bible bias. There is a Bible way to view things. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So, there is a sight that comes when you are born again. There is a sight that comes when you are born again. See, there are things that only the regenerated spirit can see. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, God. My God. Hallelujah. You know, like I was talking about my particular assignment before I got into this part of the sermon. The Lord was showing me, see, your assignment, part of the things that will influence it, even the coincidences in your life, even the things that you had no hand in making happen. By the time you look at your life from the eyes of God, you will see that God has been planning this thing long before you were born. There are so many factors that has influenced, are you with me?
Yes,
the reality that has shaped your life, that has shaped your process. You know, God was making me see. He said, for you to know that, you see this work I'm giving you, I've been preparing it. Yes, I stumbled on a document. It was a big plaque or plaque. I don't know which is the correct pronunciation. It was given to my late father in 1996. He went to preach for one of the foremost faith preachers of the gospel in this country. He went to preach for Dr. Tunde Joda in 1996, their camp meeting. So, I didn't really know the weight of that until I went for a ministers' conference 2 years ago, 2024, and Pastor Poju was preaching. Pastor Poju just said, you know, the first minister of the gospel to break through in the faith circle in this country was Dr. Tunde Joda. I said, my eyes just opened like this. That was the man I invited my dad. I was like, huh? So I quickly went and posted that plaque back. Somebody now messaged me. I said, are you the son of that Susan Suman? He said, you don't know who your dad was. Oh. He said, are you the one? I said, yes. He said, mark yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you know that all I just explained to somebody who is not born again, after I'm done, say, and so what? What concern me? Notice, and spiritual things don't make sense to them. No matter how deep you explain it, they don't get it. So they must be born again first. Their eyes must be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, if you follow the teachings of Paul, you will discover they did not play with this issue of being born again, salvation in Christ. It was not a joke. You know, we make it look like right now in the way we do church, we make it look like that's just the small thing. That's everything. That thing is everything. He called the seed the kingdom of God. That seed of the gospel that comes into your heart is the kingdom of God in your heart. Paul will say, according to the grace that is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. Then the next verse, what is that foundation? Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and I now build thereupon. Let every man take it how he builded thereupon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay. Let us read it together. 1, 2, 3, go.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid.
Which is Jesus. Read it again with a loud voice. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's saying that the process by which I establish a person in the subject of Jesus Christ is called foundation laying. Of course, this involves more than getting the person saved, but that whole process of establishing your foundation in Christ, to be born again, genuinely saved, genuinely in the kingdom of God. There is something the theologians, John Piper, John MacArthur, calls fake salvation. And it's true. Do you know there are many people that have said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and Jesus did not enter? I'll teach about it later. Do you know there are people that have prayed that prayer, and Jesus did not enter? Because that prayer ought to be the result of something that has entered into your heart by believing the gospel. If thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning before you say that prayer, something has happened in your heart that I cannot proceed any further from this point without realizing that Jesus is the Lord of my life, he's the Savior and the only person that can save my soul. Because of that understanding, you now say, Lord Jesus, I look up to you for salvation. There are some people, so that the evangelism will end, we say, oh yeah, say after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I believe you died. I believe you died. Come into my heart. Come in. So they said it so that you will leave them alone. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
He says, according to the grace given to me as a wise master builder, I looked carefully to be sure that Christ has entered. Praise the Lord. So a proper disciple must be born again. With evident signs, must be born again. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Christ Life Conference Abuja, May 1st to 3rd. We are going to do what I can call established facts, foundations, fundamentals. I prepare. Glory! Christ Life Conference, Port Harcourt, April 1st to 4th. That is the word of faith. Ah, hallelujah. See, God has given us something for generational.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? And whether the devil likes it or not, we will disciple this generation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 So that's number one, born again. Number two, we said on Sunday, the second mark of a proper disciple is a passion for spiritual growth in the Word of God. There must be a strong desire for spiritual growth. And we quoted some text, Peter chapter 2, from verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that ye may grow thereby. Verse 3, it says, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, meaning if you have truly tasted of the Lord's grace, you are going to desire the sincere milk of the word of God the same way a newborn babe desires milk from her mother, from his or her mother. Amen. Am I too fast? 1 Peter 2 from verse 2 to 3. Okay, let's read it together. 1 to 3, go. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse 3. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, look at that if marker there. It's a conditional statement. If it is true, if so be, that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, what will happen to you? The first, you will desire the sincere milk of the word of God. Are you with me? There will be a genuine desire for the word of God. Let me tell you something. I have known for years, no matter what happens in a revival, if it does not dovetail into people getting hungry for the word of God, it did not reach its goal. Did you hear what I said? No matter the prayer movement, no matter how people fell, cried, if it does not result, look at the early church. If it does not result into an increased desire for the word of God, it did not reach its goal. No matter the healings and miracles, see, by the grace of God, with all sense of humility, I have seen God use me and use this ministry to... We have seen the dead come back to life. Oh. We have seen blind eyes open, deaf, dumb, blind, all kinds of things. But I have come to discover that alone will not produce a proper disciple. Eh? The person whose sister in our church came back to life, we thought that after... you remember? We thought, with the way the miracle happened, we thought that by now they should have been a deacon. They should have been discipling. You know what? The doctors confirmed her dead. The sister said, "This my sister cannot die. I will call Pastor David." They called me 3 a.m. in the morning. We were praying in tongues for 3 hours. From 3 a.m. to almost 6 a.m., around 5:58 thereabout, the person they were willing to mortuary sneezed. If it was just sneezed and woke up, it would have been okay. The person woke up praying in tongues. The hospital were asking, "Who is this pastor? Who is this pastor?" When I got there the next day, they said, "This is the pastor." I thought at the time she come back from the grave, she will begin to preach the gospel. We didn't find out till now. I've come to discover, if no matter the revival, if it does not result into the word of God, like I was saying about the early church, when you see something happen, you will see the statement, "And the word of God increased."
Yes, sir. Yes,
did you notice that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
"And the word of God increased."
Yes, sir.
"And the number of disciples multiplied."
Yes, sir.
"And many of the chief priests were added unto the faith." "And the word of God increased." "And the word of God..." If the word of God is not increasing in your life, your discipleship is faulty. Even in this church, if you have been following this ministry from even when Abuja Church started, if you have been following, the word of God is increasing. Our teaching is increasing. The only difference is that we are making it simpler. If you listen to me 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, you'll be going home like this. Those days, I used to do 3 series in 1 month. There was Monday series, Thursday series, and Sunday series. 12 hot decisions. You know what made me stop? One day, I just called a member of the church and asked her a question. "What is this?" Say, "Pastor, I've never heard that before." I said, "Eh? Eh?" So, then I got it. No, you don't just load people like that. No, take it. Learn to take one series. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 17 from verse 10. Acts 17 from verse 10 to 11. So, I am telling you these things, or I'm sharing these things with you, so that you will check where you are in your discipleship journey. You will check. You will check. Is the word of God increasing in my life? Just the same way, like we said on Sunday, just the same way, no matter how old you are, you must still eat. In fact, like I said on Sunday, the proof that you are growing is that you are eating more. I use a simple example. Searching water that when you were 5, 6, you will be struggling to finish one. Now, you just do like this and that disappeared. Yeah, some people, they take two. You that they will beg to finish that small plate of rice. Now, the mountain will be made a plain before thee. You know what's happening? Because you are growing, your consumption is growing. If you are truly growing spiritually, your word consumption should be growing. What you are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What you are eating in God should be expanding. There were books when I got born again. There were books I was reading, and I was reading them as my spiritual diet. Personal development books. Great books. Jim Rohn. Anthony Robbins, The Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale, great books. But I got to a place where I wanted, give me the raw word, like his word. Give me the word. I want Bible. Are you with me? I was looking for meat, not just milk. I wanted Bible. So I started reading books like E.W. Kenyon, A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God. Advanced Bible course, EW, what happened from the cross to the throne? Are you with me?
Yes,
read Bible. Christian identification. Hi! The man in Christ. Those are the things I started reading. I started eating those books. Then Kenneth Hagin. Started reading Kenneth Hagin. I don't think there's any Kenneth Hagin book you will call that I don't have. Oh. Both the ones that Kenneth Hagin sent to my father and the ones I bought. At some point, I needed more, even much more word. But as of 2009, I had gone to get a diploma in applied theology. Praise the Lord. And I remember the graduation day. The two courses that they did, you know, just the same way you do a graduation for normal schools, they do graduation certificate, everything. I was the best in two courses. Number one, new creation realities. They said you were all best students for new creation realities. David, I came out with my big head and small body. The second one, missions and church planting. Look at Acts 17 from verse 10. Say after me, I will be solid. Acts 17 from verse 10. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas unto Berea. You know what? Let's read together.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas.
Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So what happened was that they gave news that they want to capture Paul and Silas. They had to escape. So by night, the brethren said, Paul and Silas, wake up. If you don't disappear from here, they will stone you to death by morning. So run. So they sent them to Berea. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, the Bible was careful enough to give an added remark about the believers in Berea. Look at them. Everybody read Acts 17 from verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So he is saying that the saints in Berea or the Christians in Berea were more noble or were more solid. Are you with me? Than the saints in Thessalonica. And why was that difference? He says the difference came because, number one, they received the word with readiness of mind. So your approach to the word of God will influence how solid you become. It's a litmus test of whether you are spiritually solid or not. How do you receive the word of God? Where are you in your hunger for the things of the word? When the word of God is being shared, how do you respond? You know, there are some people. In fact, you know, one day I was discussing with some pastors and we're talking about church growth. And of all the things that were mentioned, almost nobody talked about the word of God. I said, no, it must change, though. We will change it. They said, let the music be good. Let the speakers be heavy. And that is important. Yes, you know, if without speakers, you cannot have that powerful worship you will have. Is it there? Let there be prayer sessions. How was church? I danced. Our church was exciting. See, dance today. The dance was wow. Yeah. See that church, their praise. See, the Gbedu there is very, very, very serious. What did they teach? I was blessed. What did they teach? We're really, really blessed. What did they teach, sir? What? I'm showing you what happened that many believers are no longer solid. What was preached? Explain why salvation is by grace alone. Some people cannot explain. The day I knew there was a problem, I was still a well test engineer in the oil field. And one day we were just talking. That's when I knew that, there's a problem. Somebody now came in. You know, that group they call Jehovah's Wickedness. Sorry. Jehovah's Witness. Sorry. Shout JW. And they dropped a pamphlet. And somebody just picked it up and said, wow, this pamphlet is really colorful. Wow. Say, Kai, these people are really doing a lot for the Lord. And I asked the question, are Jehovah's Witness Christians? And say, Hannah, she was a choir leader. Eh? If I mention the name of the church, we all know the church. She was a praise and worship leader. I said, really? I said, how are you sure? I said, we're all serving the same God. We are all preaching the same Jesus and it's the same thing. I say, hey, are you sure? I say, so what's the difference between your church and JW? She said, there's no difference. I said, there's a problem. I said, okay, can I explain to you? I said, I better leave that one. We'll talk about that one later. They received the word of God with readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. By the time those will now meet people that are questioning the faith, those are the people that will go abroad and say, I don't think I should be a Christian again. I had friends that went to the UK and said Christianity in Nigeria is too fanatical. That we are serious about God because there is no money. That if you go there, half of the prayer points has been answered by the government. Why are we praying? That means you have not seen prayer outside a need-based transaction. Are you with me? For people who are wondering what's the difference, Jehovah's Witness not preach that Jesus is God. For you to be a Christian, you must believe that Jesus is God. Christianity 101. Jehovah's Witness said that Jesus was an archangel. 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 How many of you are hearing this for the first time? That's what Jehovah's Witnesses preach. In fact, even that, you remember that yellow book they publicized? That yellow book, my book of Bible stories, it's written inside there with black and white. Jesus was the first angel that God created. That Jesus is the archangel. And any good Bible student will know, that is what the book of Hebrews chapter 1 came to destroy. It says, to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. To which of the angels? Hebrews chapter 1 was explaining to us that Jesus is better than the angels. He says, he maketh his angels spirits and his ministers the flames of fire. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. You say Jesus is not God. How can he be the Son of God and God? God called him God. Jesus, are you following me? Put his Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 7 to 8. But unto the Son, okay, look at it. For unto which of the angels said at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So that means he was saying that this Jesus is on a class on his own, that the angels not come near. Are you with me? Yes, verse 6. And again, when they bring out his firstborn to the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. So that means this is someone that commands the worship of angels. He cannot be the archangel. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Am I speaking to you? See, and of the angels is here to make it his angel spirit, and his ministers the flame of fire. He was quoting the book of Psalms. But unto the Son, so God was talking to the Son. God was talking to his Son. You say, God, Jesus is not the Son of, cannot be Son of God, I'm God. But God is saying, to my Son, he said, thy throne, O God. Are you with me? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Conquer. Bam. I remember when the argument, there are many scriptures about the deity of Christ, but you see this one. Bam. Ikukum. God is the one that said, I am God, but you are God too. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and also God, you don't believe in Christianity. What is happening is that the substance of God came into flesh and took your place. You need to get that. They received the word of God with what? Readiness of mind. And then they search the scriptures daily. One of our pastors, I like talking to her because when she said, Pastor, I want to see you, she used to come with a truckload of questions. Pastor, you said in this place that this is... Maybe at some point she thought I was angry. I don't get angry when you question our teachings. The word of God is like gold. Try it 7 times. It will come out. So if your convictions are solid, try it. Test it and see. Test it and see. There are some things she has said. I said, you have a point too. Let's look at it again. I think I need to represent this. Okay, I'll correct this here. I should have presented it like this. Readiness of mind. A proper discipled community, when they come to church, you see the way they are responding to the word of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You see the way they are responding. And that's what I want to build here. We want to learn about what the Bible says about money. See, you have to come ready to learn. Are you with me?
Yes,
there's a readiness. And then you check the scriptures. You check it. Let me tell you, if we had more proper disciples, falsehood would have died a natural death long time. There are many pastors, there are many false pastors that they will not have anything to say again. Because when you talk to, you can't say that thing you are saying. They will not, by the next 2 months, you will not have church again. God, I want to find trouble. God, help me, help me. I hold myself, God. Oh, wait, I should find trouble. Hallelujah. And then we talked about, so number one, mark of a proper disciple, being born again. Number two, passion for spiritual growth in the word. Acts 17 from verse 10 to 11. We talked about 1 Peter 2 from verse 2 to 3. And then we talked about the building of spiritual strength. If you follow what we said on Sunday, it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So we see, and the child grew. So he was first born again, the child. Then he grew, waxed strong in spirit, meaning the building of spiritual strength. And we said, spiritual strength comes by exposing yourself to the presence of God. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Exposing yourself to the presence of God in prayer, in worship, engaging your spirit. That's how you wax strong in the spirit. You can become strong in the spirit. Are you with me? Yes, hallelujah. However, there are two things, God help me to be, I have to cover today. Two extra things. There's a lot we can say about being a proper disciple, but I will just coagulate all of them under these two. Are you with me? Yes, number four, a proper disciple is marked by sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Sacrifice. If you look at your Christian journey, and there is no mark of sacrifice, your discipleship is in question. Luke 14, verse 26 to 27. It says, if a man come after me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus was a strange teacher. When you know those things, they don't try it at home. I remember that time I finished a preaching on discipleship. Me and my course mates then, I think on the level, so we talked about it. One guy went and made a video skit. He entered his house with his big Bible. Said, "Mommy, I hate you." "Daddy, I hate you." Looked at the sisters. "I hate you." So they were like, "What's going on?" He said, "Jesus said." I'm sure he has forgotten. You know how my son is. I'm sure he has forgotten. He says, "The man come unto me and hate not his father, nor his mother, nor his wife, his children." What is he saying here? He's, of course, the Bible cannot say you should hate your parents and then say honor your parents. Are you with me? The Bible does not contradict itself. So he's saying you should have so much regard for the Lord and the things of the Lord in comparison to other things, that by the time they look at how much commitments you are putting into the things of the Lord, they should say, you actually hate those things. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There is a way somebody will eat rice. You will believe the person hates every other food. And it may not be that the person actually hates other food, but the way he can do anything to a rice. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse 27. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. See, if you will be a proper disciple, you will learn the way of sacrifice. You know, it is easy to serve God when it looks palatable. But I'm telling you, it is
when things look difficult, that is where the real strength of your service will be tested. It is not when you are up and bubbling that your prayer life will be tested. It is that day where sleep wants to kill you. And then you the time for prayer has come. Let me tell you, it is better you were praying and slept off than you say, I'm just tired, let me go and sleep. You arrange your bed, arrange your pillow. He says, why am I deceiving myself? The man who prayed and was in the place of prayer and slept off is a stronger disciple than the one that shut down the prayer and went to sleep because he does not want to stress himself. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
The one that came for all night and 60% of the time slept in the all night is better than the one that stayed in his house and slept throughout. Are you getting me?
Yes,
sacrifice. Sacrifice. The Bible says, gather my saints unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Sacrifice. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm showing you the old pathway, the old rugged way. Sacrifice. When they check you, what have you sacrificed for the Lord? When they check, what will they see? You know, when Paul said in Galatians 6 from verse 17, he says, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know, that marks he was talking about was the result of floggings that they gave him. So the reason why he can no longer be troubled was because he has gotten some scars by sacrifice. Are you with me? You know, I was seeking God about something one time. I was asking God, I want you to promote me to a level. I was asking God, there's a level I want you to take me to in the name of the Spirit. But I said, that one, the response that came back, I said, that one is only sacrifice and time that will take you there. You know, when or blessed memory cries, thou power of God. There is something. Are you following me?
Yes,
there are years of sacrifice. Are you with me?
Yes,
thou power of God moves. Somebody, if he cried that power of God, demon will slap you. That man lost his child. Same day he went to preach. I can't do it. He lost his child. As his child died here, he stood up. Say, I'm going for the crusade. Don't try it here. Don't try it. This generation. That they would, before they will roast you on social media, before you come back, you are burnt, you are cooked. Sacrifice. And of course, I'm not encouraging not being empathic. I did not teach you that one. Who knows? Maybe he came back and consoled his wife and praise the Lord. But the sort of sacrifice extends to many things. You know, have you seen scriptures like, you have not strived unto blood, striving against sin? Hebrews chapter 12. You have not wrestled unto blood, striving against sin. He's saying, if it will happen that your blood will be spilled than for you to commit sin, it is better. That's the spirit of sacrifice there. There are some Christians, they don't want to sacrifice, and as temptation has come, they just fall. Don't worry, I'll just fall. You know, it's just here. Some people, if they were Joseph and their madam is sitting there and say, Lord, you know I'm here. Let's just fall. They don't know how to sacrifice anything. I'm struggling with this addiction. I'm struggling with pornography. Once it just comes up, I just give in. Yeah, it just comes, I just give. He says it's better your phone to spoil.
It's better you scatter the food. So that the next time you come and you press like this, it's gone. That's what he's saying there. Even some people, Joseph, as they tear the cloth, say, Lord, they have already torn my cloth. Let's just... They can't sacrifice. This sacrifice, it is core. You will take up your cross and follow. And God will arrange it that there will be times where everything will not be given to you. He wants to see what you will do. He wants to see what you will do. You know, there was a time an argument was going on. Should we pay gospel musicians? Should we pay gospel musicians? The right thing to do is to pay. Somebody cannot be working, sweating, serving, and you cannot. It's a skill. They are working for the church. There are people, ministers will come and somebody will come and sing in a church, and the church will not give the person honorarium or something. It's not fair now. The right thing to do is to honor them. But God will orchestrate that you that say you are a minister, you will go somewhere, they will not give anything. Do you understand? The body of Christ is designed to make all of us disciples. Even the one that has flaws, God will use him to train you. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
So that, let's see what you will do when you're not given privilege. The place where they're supposed to honor you, they will not honor you. God will allow them, they will ignore you, you'll be there. Thing is a test. By the time you say, oh God, I'm not going to serve again, did he honor me in this place? You'll be there. You'll be there. God wants you to serve even when they are ignored. God will purposely arrange that they will ignore you. No, purposely sideline you and want to see if you will still serve. That is sacrifice. When you are now serving and Lord, I'm here, my eyes are on you. Just as I am, and whether they care about me, I'm here. And out of the blues, he will lift you like that. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Proper disciple, sacrifice. Time has gone. There are some people, they can never remember doing any work in church. They don't know how to serve. How will I be carrying broom and be sweeping? No, leave that. You are still, it shows where you are in the kingdom. Are you with me? Why will he just send me like that? It shows where you are in the kingdom. Let me add some text to that. It will stick with you. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 26-27. I therefore so run as not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I keep under my body. Do you understand that? I keep under my body. Sacrifice. Fasting! Is sacrifice. It is the day you want to fast. That's when the smell of boiled water will be like boiled egg. The day you want to fast, that's when the anointing will just come upon the person you ask, I need to make stir-fry spaghetti and fry a chicken. Say, God, what is this? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You know, fasting is powerful, though. Don't take it as a joke. Fasting is powerful. The first thing that happened, what did it involve? Food. When Jesus was tempted, what did it involve? Food. That means there is something about the man who can say no to food. Are you with me? The people that man must work. You cannot see food and remove your eye. Sacrifice. No. Put a knife in your throat. I will not die. Sacrifice. You must not chop. You must not collect it. Stop. I'm saying it like this. But you get the point. Okay.
2 Timothy 2 verse 3, that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hardness. Hardness. You endure hardness. I wish I can say more about this, but that's what makes solid men, solid disciples. Do you know that? Think about it. Have you ever thought about it? Do you know what it would have taken to be the disciple of Jesus? I just wish I was able to be Peter. I just wish I could just walk with Jesus. Yeah? Yeah? You will trek, eh? Hey! By the time you walk from Capernaum to Jordan, oh my God, your leg would have developed something. Eh? Jesus. Didn't you read about Thomas? Thomas and the man said, let's go and die with him. Since let's go and die with him, since he does not want to rest, let's read it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus will deflate your ego. He just finished saying, thou art Peter. God has revealed this to you. Until you have given the keys of the kingdom. Peter now thought he now has levels. Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die. Jesus said, what? You are coming to stop me to go? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter went and told Jesus, how can you? You cannot die. Bible says he held him and was rebuking Jesus. You cannot go to Jerusalem and die. I'm just the one that told you now that you are the Son of God. The Son of the living God. So you have to listen to me. Jesus said, if I give you, you better get behind me. Are you following me? You see, the body of Christ. Before there were things I used to say, Lord, you change. Lord, change. As I grew, I found out that there are some things that will not change. Go allow it that way. It is that way to make proper disciples. So by the time you mature, you now know what to ignore. You know what God is allowing to make you learn. There are some difficulties. You know, like I was telling one of the leaders in our Lekki church. I said, when a church starts, Jesus, Holy Ghost. When a church is starting, that is a major opportunity for God to raise solid men. There is it's a good thing for a church to start with 1,000 people. But already, something, you have missed the process of what it means to come and be and keep on going. That hardness that is built inside a person's spirit. Are you getting me? You miss that process. You miss that process of going to evangelize, preach, see somebody get saved, come into the faith, and watch the person grow. Nothing can be bought. You can't buy that thing with money. Do you understand? You miss the process of what it means to get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost and see how the Holy Ghost overwhelms a person. Finally, for today, solid disciples, or solid, how do you marks of a proper disciple? Exemplary devotion. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So, there's so much to say, but you know you are becoming a solid disciple or a proper disciple when God can now begin to trust you as an example for other believers. Are you with me? Simple question, like I asked on Sunday, if every believer was like you, would the kingdom of God make progress? You see what you read in 1 Timothy 2 from verse 2. It says, the same thing, the things you have heard of me, commit also to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who will be able to teach others also. Sorry, 2 Timothy, please. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Faithful men. People that will preserve that thing. That will preserve that same culture. Like what is going on right now. The things I'm sharing with you, it was passed to me. Are you with me? Some of the things I am doing, I saw them with some elders. I remember being with the man that laid hands on me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, was a missionary. See, yeah. Ah, my God. The church that you first attend, the first 10 years of your Christian life, the pastors and the ministry that influences you those times has a lot to do with your future. The man that prayed for me, he's late now. He was a missionary for 43 years. Reverend Bonnie Afone. That's the man that prayed for me to receive the Holy Ghost. There were things we saw. It's not common. Are you with me? The same commit to faithful men that will teach others also. So, you become a proper disciple. By the time you are becoming a proper disciple, God can now use you to begin to become an example to others. Jump on your feet. Let us pray. Were you blessed today?
Yes, sir.
The way this teaching went, it makes me almost feel like it's supposed to be all night teaching. You feel it, Abby. I know why you are saying yes. Somebody like, Pastor, no. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Say after me in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I am strengthened to be a proper disciple. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, from this moment, I receive help to be a proper disciple. Can you begin to pray right now? Tela baraka suzeke telia kapala. I receive help.